From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. First of all, a little happy birthday to my daughter, Christina, born on Groundhog Day. Congratulations, by the way, to the Super Bowl champs, the Seattle Seahawks, crushing Denver 43-8. It's a good game if you're from Seattle. If you're anyplace else, nobody liked it. And we also welcome new listeners internationally, Helsinki, Finland. They're now carrying the program there, so we're going beyond coast to coast. And if I know my Finnish, I will say tervetuloa. It's supposed to mean welcome, I'm told, by a Finnish person. But if they're setting me up, I've made a big mistake. And then later tonight, hauntings on coast to coast. And in a moment, Alex Jones joins us with some stories that are happening all around this country and worldwide. Indonesian officials searching through thick ash for bodies Sunday after Mount Sinabung, the volcano, erupted, killing at least 15 people, with the only sign of life, an ownerless mobile phone ringing inside of an abandoned bag. Dark, searing clouds engulfed victims during the eruption, leaving rescuers with little hope of finding survivors as they search through the ash up to 12 inches thick. Let me tell you something about the caldera at Yellowstone that erupts every 600,000 years. It's overdue. 12 inches of ash from this volcano in Indonesia, Yellowstone would give you about 6 feet of ash. Hot, searing ash. Try getting away from that. As Linda Moulton Howe reported on our program several months ago, now it's going mainstream. Starfish have been mysteriously dying by the millions in recent months along the U.S. coast, worrying biologists who say that the sea creatures are a key to the marine ecosystem. Scientists first started noticing the mass deaths in June of 2013. Different types of starfish, also known as the sea stars, were affected, from the wild ones along the coast to those in captivity. North Korea stepping up pressure on the U.S. and South Korea to cancel a major military exercise due to begin next month, with a senior official warning that the drills will push the peninsula to the brink of war. And a top commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard says that his forces already have plans in place to attack the United States from within should the U.S. attack Iran. Reports indicate that the terrorist Hezbollah forces, allies of Iran, have already infiltrated the U.S. and have mapped out targets. Douglas Hagman, of course, an expert on terrorism. Douglas, how much credence do you give this story by this top commander?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty significant, because what's taking place, first, we have to understand the bigger picture, is the fact that we're engaged in a proxy war. It's all about the proxies. Iran's at the front line. It's a high-value chess piece for Russia. We have been playing around in Syria. And, of course, Russia knows what we've been doing. It goes back to Benghazi. And, of course, there's going to be blowback. So, indeed, we should take a look at the potential for attacks here in the United States, as well as our Western interests over in the Arabian area, Arabian Peninsula, and the Strait of Hormuz. And, of course, we could experience attacks, or at least we could experience the losses by way of the petrodollar should the shipping of oil to any Western country be molested.
Are you hearing anything, Doug, from your sources about targets here in the United States?
Nothing specific, only in generalities. And again, this all gets tied to Syria. It all gets tied to Russia and the proxy war that's taking place between the United States, Russia, the Saudis, and, of course, Iran.
Okay, thanks for that, Doug. Keep abreast of all that for us. The women arrested in connection with the body parts found in a garbage bag on the side of a Michigan highway is now believed to be the mother of the victim. Evidence and tips from the public have led police to the conclusion that the 59-year-old woman who reported her 32-year-old son missing on Sunday of last week is the same woman who dumped his remains on the side of a St. Clair, Michigan highway. Wow. Oscar-winning actor Philip Seymour Hoffman has died at his home in New York at the age of 46. His body was found after a friend called emergency services. Police say he apparently died of a drug overdose. Hoffman made his name in the 1990s in films including Boogie Nights and The Big Lebowski before winning the Best Actor in Oscar role for his 2005 portrayal of writer Truman Capote.
I'd only just handed them the final scene when the bellhop told me I had a phone call. And it was my stepfather, Joe Capote, calling to say that my mother had died. I flew home to New York, terribly distraught. But when I got to the apartment, I could see that Joe was in even worse shape than I was.
Hoffman just did a great job in that movie. Throughout his career, Hoffman featured in independent films as well as Hollywood blockbusters such as Mission Impossible 3. His latest role was in the Hunger Games series of films. Philip Seymour Hoffman, dead at the age of 46. Cells taken from the donated eyes of dead people may be able to give sight to the blind. Tests in rats show that the human cells could restore some vision to completely blind rats. That's an amazing story. The BBC television presenter Dr. Michael Mosley has infected himself with a number of parasites in an effort to understand just how they affect the human body. This is what he has done. He swallowed tapeworms, stuck a leech in his arm, tried to infest himself with lice. The worms lived in his body for several weeks. He says that he felt no ill effects, other than I suggest he go to a psychiatrist for what he did. Punxsutawney Phil, the famed U.S. groundhog with an even more famous shadow, emerged from his burrow on Sunday and has predicted six more weeks of winter, much to the chagrin of those hoping for an early spring. Mitch Patras, who watches the skies for us. Mitch, is the groundhog correct?
Well, I don't know about that, but let me give a shout out for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm one of those, George.
I'm taking you to Denver for a TV taping. I'll have you do that on the streets.
You know what? I do like those people over there in Boulder. But yeah, being in Seattle for some 22 years, it's just a joy. Related going to the weather.
Six more weeks, bad weather, huh?
Yes. In fact, what we're seeing today is part of the continuing solar events that are occurring, and there's some very big ones that are happening now. Actually in the last 3 days, but they're coming one on top of the other. Just in the last 72 hours, we've had another 8 M-class flares with 3 very large CMEs.
Oh, boy.
So going back 3 days to the 31st, we're already starting to feel the effects of that. And by February 4th, we'll get the full brunt of what's happening. It's mostly from sunspot region 1967 and 1968, and it's dead center of the sun's meridian. So this, whatever occurs there will be earth-directed, I mean straight on. You were earlier talking about the volcano. It's a real tragedy. We're going to see more of that.
I think so, too.
Starting now. I mean, there's going to be an escalation of earthquakes and volcanoes as a result of this slamming of charged particles.
Lots going on. Mitch, by going to earthchangesmedia.com, by the way. So, you know, we deal with a lot of stories about ghosts and hauntings. We're going to do that in a few hours. By the way, Alex is going to be with us in a second for a couple hours split show. But ghostcameras.com is a website that has been designed to provide haunted locations a hub to survive, to keep their doors open. There are a lot of haunted places all around the country, but some of them are on the edge. It's the brainchild of Jody Parks. She's come up with the idea. Jody, how did you get this idea?
Well, you know, I go to haunted locations a lot, and, you know, sometimes I'm only there for one night, and there might be claims of shadow people and stuff like that, and you only get one shot. And this idea, you know, I went to the idea to Chris Lane, and he designed the website. And, you know, this will give us 2 years of observing two locations, which are Road Hotel and Farrar Elementary. And we will be able to document for 2 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get to the bottom of shadow people or any type of paranormal phenomena.
If you find anything, Jody, you better report that back for us, huh?
Well, the great thing is, inside the site, people will have usernames, and they will be able to push a button if they see something, and if they collect that piece of evidence, they will get to claim that evidence that they captured.
Jody, these sites all around the country, that, you know, these haunted locations, some are in prisons, some are in bed and breakfast places, are some of them really on the edge of going under?
Oh, yeah. You know, I talked to a lot of the owners, and over the winter, they have to kind of shut down because people just aren't ghost hunting. They're just, you know, holidays and everything. It's just a little bit harder to travel. And, you know, so their business is down, and they're struggling. And some of the owners are eating canned soup every night.
Oh, my gosh.
To survive. And you know, these buildings are gigantic, and to rehab them and put the money into them, it's almost like a money pit, but they love the place, and they do have the support system, but they need more help.
All right.
GhostCambers.com,
that's the website, and go to it, and it's up and running right now. In a moment, American patriot Alex Jones joins us. We're going to be talking about all kinds of subjects that are near and dear to your heart. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, I really don't have to give this guy an introduction, but you all know him, Alex Jones, award-winning documentary filmmaker, hosts his own programs. He heads up Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And Alex, I can't believe you gave up part of your Super Bowl Sunday to be with us. I'm impressed.
You got to be kidding. I listen constantly, almost every day, George, when I'm up working late. So it's always an honor to be here. You know, quite frankly, I grew up playing football and watching football in Dallas, Texas, but the real game of life and all the incredible geopolitical things that are happening and what's happening in science and all the amazing things that you were covering in your news segment, that's what I'm obsessed with. And I do agree with Vince Lombardi that winners never quit and quitters never win. And so there's a lot of great lessons from football. But the lessons we're getting from the NFL now, anti-gun messages, a lot of bizarre propaganda, Obamacare being pushed, the big teams and their owners being tax-exempt and having the stadiums paid for by taxpayers. I mean, I tell you, there's a lot of things about the NFL and professional sports that really kind of makes my blood curdle. Yeah, it's like I love basketball.
Right.
But I hate seeing North Korea and Dennis Rodman use it for propaganda purposes, and I kind of see professional sports in this country starting to slide that direction, George.
Well, you know what? Right after Rodman was out there with Kim Jong-un and hugging him, and he left, he went into that crazy rampage, and, you know, then he calmed down and apologized. But apparently, you've been following the story where he had his uncle executed. He fed him to dogs. He was a commander who apparently tried to overthrow the regime, so he had him killed. But then right after Rodman left, Alex, Kim rounded up all the uncle's blood relatives, kids, you name it, and had them all executed. He's insane.
Well, that's right. And I love how so many people claim that communism is for the people. In every case, you end up having a dictator, and then their family gets the power after they become sick or die. North Korea is a Stalinist dictatorship with a third-generation royalty, basically, who lives in a seven-story pleasure palace. It is a complete and total disgusting joke. And then I saw a lot of the mainstream media here in the United States criticize Rodman, which I did, and I know you did as well. It was just a disgusting spectacle, for taking money to go visit the dictator. But so many people in mainstream media, it's turned out, get foreign government funding for the news packages they create. So the truth is there's a lot of these special interests, governmental and corporate, that are manipulating the news. And that's why Coast to Coast AM and coasttocoastam.com is so important is because it's such a diverse group of people that come on uncensored, unfiltered. Even if you know you don't agree with something 1 hour, it doesn't matter because something entirely different will be on in the next hour. The main thing is it's thought-provoking and outside the box. The establishment worldwide is very stagnant and doesn't want people thinking outside of the box. And the key to freedom and the key to turning our civilization and society around is thinking outside the box and is questioning. I mean, just think about, George, when I was first coming on your show, and I can't believe it's already 11 years ago.
It has. So. I can't believe it's gone that fast, Alex.
11 years ago, first one.
I mean, from that one call I got from one of our listeners, called me during open lines one day. This is God's truth. And he said, when are you going to have Alex Jones on? And I said, who? And he said, you better check into this guy. And that's when I did. That's when we had you on.
Well, if folks would simply go back to what we covered 11 years ago on your broadcast, back then talking about the NSA spying on people without warrants, oh, that's ridiculous. That's not happening. Back then, if you talked about the occult in Hollywood, oh, that's not happening. Back then, if you talked about a plan for a private corporate world government to break up national sovereignty, to bankrupt the individual as a tool of economic domination and siege, people would laugh at you. But they're not laughing now because, unfortunately, so much of it has now come true. So much of it is now unfolded. And there's so much to discuss tonight, but I hope we can talk about who the globalists are, what their master plan is, and how they're planning an incremental world economic meltdown so that they can fully break free humanity and basically get everybody on some form of government or corporate assistance, a form of domestication. And then I want to go all the way down the rabbit hole and break down exactly what the cashless society system, the tracker boxes in the cars, the tax you by the mile.
Yeah, I want to get your reaction to bitcoins too, Alex. I haven't had a chance to talk with you about those things.
I want to talk about Bitcoin because that ties into this whole situation, the whole cashless society. We could also talk about what you were mentioning earlier. Why are all the starfish dying? I mean, as you mentioned, you talked about this last year and talked about it just a few weeks ago. And now it's the top story on Yahoo News and French news agency, mass sea star deaths off West Coast. Puzzle scientist. I sent, for my nightly news TV show, four reporters out to the West Coast for a week, where I know you broadcast from a lot of the time, and they found upwards of 10 to 14 times with multiple Geiger counters and field surveyor systems, two different types of Geiger counters, well, four total, but the two different types, two of each, they found 14 times normal background radiation in San Francisco. And the health department's response was to say, yes, we found similar readings, but it's no big deal, and we're not going to discuss where it could be coming from. And now the major fisheries and the government of the state up in Alaska is saying it looks like the seals could be dying from radiation sickness. So this is a very serious issue. Now, to be clear, the average person on the coast isn't going to have much of an issue, but things that bioaccumulate things out of the ocean, like seals, like tuna, larger animals at the top of the food chain are going to be devastated by this, and they're real canaries in the coal mine. So we've got a lot of findings, George.
And you know, Alex, there is no other logical explanation. It's got to be from the Fukushima spill.
Well, that's it. I mean, certainly there's natural forms of it, and there's normal background radiation, but why is it up on average four times from our survey, from the Mexican border with Southern California all the way up into the edge of Washington? We sent our reporters up there for more than a week. And on average, there was about two, three, four times, I guess about three times was the average, normal background radiation. And so this new high level is the new normal. And the question is, why aren't governments concerned? Why isn't a bigger issue being made out of this? And why did mainstream media have multiple newspaper articles attacking Infowars.com saying, okay, the radiation is higher, but, you know, don't listen to this guy because it's not a big deal. I mean, since when are investigators and whistleblowers and people that are concerned ridiculed? Well, since a form of mass malaise basically fell upon the mainstream media to where they think it's their job to whitewash anything and everything. I mean, speaking of your earlier report, I want to speak about this after we talk about
video. Yeah, hold on for a second, Alex. We're going to come right back. We'll get right back into this. Alex Jones, our special guest for the next couple hours. And welcome back, Alex Jones with us. Alex, when we were talking years ago about the elitists speeding up this entire push for this control and one world government, where do we stand today? Are they still pushing things fast?
Well, George, there are, as you know, a lot of different power blocks in the world. There's the Anglo-American establishment, the UK, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. There's kind of the old EU power block that's somewhat allied with the Anglo-American establishment. Then there's the Russian power block that is allied with Iran and others, and somewhat with China. And so really there's three to four different power blocks, and they're all interlocking. But when you look at the dominant group, according to mainline political science publications that aren't on the news on CNN, but are at graduate level political science, the dominant group is the Anglo-American establishment. And so I'm an American. You would think I would root for that group. Well, I don't root for the Russians or the communist Chinese. I don't root for Iran. But I don't also root for the elite that runs America, because they're at war with our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. They're replacing it with an authoritarian, tyrannical system. But that doesn't mean then that I join with the other power blocks just because the people that are hijacking our nation happen to be autocratic and authoritarian. So when you ask how are they doing, either it's the best of times or the worst of times. A lot of people, as you know, are waking up. So much of what we've discussed in the last decade plus is now becoming prima facie or openly documented on its face. It's really an open secret. But all these different corrupt interests won't ever spoil the technocratic game of constructing world government, because whether it's the Russian power bloc or the Western power bloc, they all think they're going to end up getting the one ring. The planetary technocratic world government with the big AI future predicting computers and quantum computers that are already really online. And so that's really the issue, is all these different elites want planetary government to shut out their competition. They want a monopoly of power. They want to dominate the individual and dominate the nation state so that nothing can stand in their hegemonic plan for total domination. But at the same time, the technologies that they have unleashed to control populations will end up probably being their own undoing. So there is a global awakening. Good things are happening, but it's like we're wide awake while we're being eaten alive. They're still accelerating this global private corporate monopolistic anti-free market, anti-human movement, kind of an anti-Renaissance. And that's why it's important for people out there to realize now more than ever, it's important to be individuals. It's important to support true diversity of ideas, to support the true and independent press. I mean, George, I hear you talk about it all the time. There's major moves to start censoring the internet. There's major moves to tax it. There's major moves to regulate it by a lot of big interest in government and corporations that can't stand the competition. There's big moves again afoot in the Congress to bring back the fairness doctrine so we can't have open, free discussions. So to answer your question, I mean, I'd like to ask you that question, because you're an eloquent guy who has his finger on the pulse. Where do you think we are versus the forces of tyranny versus the forces of liberty? Because really, it does come down to our hearts, our minds, what we do individually. There's a lot of bad forces out there, but they can only take over and dominate when good men and women don't care or aren't involved or think we don't have power. I think that's the biggest message I can tell people out there, is you individually, in all the little choices you make and what you say and what you do and doing the right thing in your own life, we bring light into the world. George, what's your take on your own question?
Well, you know, I think we're on the cusp. You know, you look at what's happening worldwide, the situation last week in Kiev in the Ukraine, the Arab Spring from a few years ago. People who don't have what the elitists have, Alex, are getting ticked off about it. and they want change.
Exactly.
And governments are falling. Governments are resigning. I've never seen anything like it where the people, not in a voting booth, because many of those countries don't have the ability to vote, but they go out on the streets and the civil unrest is there and they change governments. We've lagged behind in that. I don't know if that will ever happen or not, because you've got still some Americans doing very well and you've got others who are doing horribly. The middle class has withered away. I don't know if that's going to happen yet, but the phenomenon for me is that this is happening worldwide, and we're late in this country to catch on to that, aren't we?
Absolutely, and this is not a mutual admiration society, but credit has to be given where credit is due to your growing audience. New listeners should go back to the archives that are on Streamlink at coasttocoastam.com, and they should go listen to your show 5 years ago, 10 years ago, listen to your guest. Because it's not even prescience. It's the fact that we know history. We're focused on this, on these issues every day. And so we see the patterns that emerge in the news, in the culture. And there is a global awakening coming. We predicted it would come. But here's the big issue. The social engineers, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, George Soros's outfits are on record recognizing the Arab Spring, recognizing unrest coming in Europe, recognizing unrest coming in this country. And what they want to do is catch the wave like a surfer, that once civil unrest begins, they want to be able to hijack it politically and then use it for a even more authoritarian takeover by bringing down the old power structure. So here's the great danger, as Ron Paul and many others have stated, and as history shows. Most of the time when you have a revolution, it goes badly and things actually get worse. We're not looking for a revolution in America, at least I'm not. I'm looking for a restoration of the republic, a restoration of free market, family, due process, of being honorable. It isn't capitalism that's failed. It is the fact that we've let crony capitalists, who are monopoly men, who use government to come in and basically pass high taxes on the general public and then give themselves corporate welfare. I mean, look at the French Revolution. And then this ties into Bitcoin, and I'll tie it together in a moment. If you go back to the French Revolution that happened right after our revolution in 1776, the Jacobins, or the proto-Marxist, before communism even existed, they had an attempted what you'd call communist takeover. Mainline historians who basically call it a precursor to communism, something that's killed more people in history than anything else. It's a literal scourge. Communism's killed roughly 10 times in the last century what the Nazis did, who are another horrible plague. And you have to understand, against the old royalty system, corrupt technocrats, professors, secret society, Illuminati people, Jacobins, they were known as the Illuminati at the time, fomented that and then killed upwards of 500,000 people conservatively, including poor people, and it was a reign of terror. And so the danger here is that as the establishment becomes more corrupt, and as we see major resistance form again, and as Homeland Security gears up the armored vehicles and the billions of bullets and the drones to suppress dissent, we have to understand that the establishment might just as easy get behind some type of violent movement and then overthrow what's left of the republic to get rid of all checks and balances and bring in absolute and total tyranny. So that's why I think it's important that our revolution be a velvet revolution, a revolution of ideas, rediscovering libertarianism, which the Financial Times of London 2 weeks ago said is the new global phenomenon and the dominant new culture. Well, it's not a new culture. Mm-hmm. It's rediscovering real liberty, live and let live. It's not about left or right. It's about right and wrong. And George, I think it's fair to say that you and I are libertarians. I think that's a fair term to use, because we are living and let live, and we're having open, free, unorthodox discussions here on air. And that is the essence of what's going to take us out of the globalists and the technocrats who fear the individual being empowered. That's what's going to take us out of the attempted high-tech dark age that they're trying to foist on us.
Bitcoin's the perfect example of how government is petrified when this is put in the hands of the common people.
Absolutely. And again, just as I support open freedom and renaissance and new currencies and cryptocurrencies, at the same time, it can be hijacked or it can be used, George, to then discredit all future private digital currencies in the future.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so in the last 4 years, I've been very clear about Bitcoin. I think overall, it's a great idea. I think overall, it's something people need. It will break the back of the private Federal Reserve and other institutions. I don't like the fact that where Bitcoin came from is so secret, and I've predicted all along that once... Sorry, George, go ahead.
Well, no, I can see where you're coming, because I've suspected... What if these Bitcoins that we're talking about recently, what if these things are a creation of government to try to make the digital currency world look like a complete farce when they break it down?
Well, that's right. We've seen this over and over again, and as usual, George, you're right on target. That's it. We have seen so many times with new forms of energy that have been proven, with new technological developments, they'll come out with somebody else's invention that's similar, that's a hoax, and then discredit the entire idea of a new system by hyping that up. And I predicted for 4 years that they would then start prosecuting people who'd made millions of dollars off of Bitcoin. And now the Justice Department is starting that. The Russians are starting it. Governments are starting to move in. Meanwhile, Johns Hopkins University, Baltimore Sun reported yesterday, is coming out with their own government research-backed one. So bottom line, I think it's a great idea. I think it's very interesting. I think that it's an idea whose time has come. But in my gut, something is wrong with the overall story. So I've never told the readers of Infowars.com that I think it's a good idea for them to be involved in it. I'm not criticizing
them if they are. Nor have I.
I'm just not going to tell people, get involved or jump. Look, it's real simple. When I was a kid, we used to go down to the river. We'd have spots where we jump into the river, you know, 20, 30 foot off a cliff. But we jump in at the same spot every time where we knew there weren't rocks right underneath the surface.
Right.
But even if we came out there and there'd been a flood and we knew where we were jumping, but still we couldn't see the bottom, we wouldn't jump in because there might be a log down there. And that's all I'm saying is, folks, look before you leap. Okay, if they're telling you it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, nothing is easy, nothing good is free, and that's all I'm saying. What do you think, George?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You're spot on. And the big question is during this entire arena that we're looking at, I've had a lot of guests on, and you have too, Alex, on your programs and your websites, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, who are talking about another economic collapse. And I'm saying to myself, my gosh, we just came out of one. I think we're going to have another one. And they say it's good. It's worse. You know, Harry Dent Jr. was on the program a week or so ago. He talked about a $16,000 Dow, which is slightly under that now. He thinks it's going to go down to $3,000.
Well, all I know is this. Sure. All I know is this. The price earnings ratios are 50 to 1, 70 to 1. 100 to 1, and if you have new listeners, you may not know what that is. Most of them do. The price of the stock versus the earnings of the company, in many cases, is 100 to 1. This makes the bubble in 1929 look like a hole in the ground, the opposite of a bubble. And so economic factors are absolutely incontrovertible. We don't know when the bubble's going to implode. And I'm, quite frankly, we're living on top of the bubble. Even though I don't like the bubble, I don't like speculative economies, this is what we live in.
Yep.
This is the system we're in, so I don't want it to pop. Let me be clear here that we are living in a fiat fraudulent system, but we're all dependent on it.
All of us. You're right.
Exactly. So I'm criticizing the fact that we're in this inflationary speculative bubble. I mean, where do people think the tens of trillions of dollars of QE Unlimited by the private Federal Reserve and all these other governments that have turned their printing presses up at light speed, where do you think it all goes, folks? The speculation goes into the stock markets, And that's why you see the Dow Jones Industrial Average where it is. That's why you see Standard & Poor's and NASDAQ where it is. And it scares me to have a one-crop economy in this country where we don't have manufacturing. Even the service economy is in trouble. The media complex is falling apart, mainly by their own doing. Every sector is in trouble. And then meanwhile, the only thing we've got going for us is a giant fiat blob, conservatively overpriced, you know, 10 times. And the companies that, you know, are getting these incredible stock dividends and investments are mainly investing in the third world and putting nothing into America. It's just never before has civilization, not just economically, but physically and on the agricultural front, but we are on the edge. It is unsustainable. And the power structure's way to respond is more armored vehicles, more police, more checkpoints, more secret police. And then, George, I heard something during your news with the Northeast Intelligence Report with Hagman that if we've got a couple minutes, I would love to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Let's go for it. And I was going to ask you, what do you think of that Iranian commander saying that he's got Hezbollah folks already in this country here?
Well, we've got a mind meld going because that is the article out of the Daily Caller. It's also in Russia Today. It's up on Infowars.com right now. And I went and actually watched the television interview on their official press TV. So this is put out in Farsi and in English. And when I saw this last night, I went and I watched it. I didn't just believe the media saying this, and it sent chills up my spine because, George, you know that I have been anti-war. You know that.
Yes.
And I've been anti-offensive war. It's wrong to start a fight. It's wrong to launch an attack. I have been against attacking Iran. The Joint Chiefs of Staff 4 months ago went to Obama the night before he was going to launch an attack, backing al-Qaeda and others in Syria in a proxy war against Iran and Russia. I'm not a fan of Assad, but compared to al-Qaeda, he's a good guy. You have the churches getting blown up every day, hundreds of churches being attacked on Christmas just a month ago, a month and 8 days ago or so. So we've seen all this going on. You have Saudi Arabia backing al-Qaeda, just telling your listeners the different pieces and different players here. You've got al-Qaeda being funded out of Saudi Arabia, then backed by NATO and the U.S. Al-Qaeda's been made to be so strong that they've now been able to reinvade Iraq, take over Fallujah, take over Western Iraq in the very bases and redoubts they were given by NATO and others to launch attacks against Syria and Assad to the west. So that's what's going on. The top Israeli commander came out Friday in Haaretz in Jerusalem Post and said, quote, al-Qaeda is getting a strong foothold in Turkey on the border with Syria. So our governments have given al-Qaeda at Benghazi and at so many other places surface-to-air missiles, light artillery, RPGs, really deadly stuff, because when they end up attacking Europe or attacking the U.S., the government will just take more of our rights, and no one will point out in the media that it was our own political interest, criminal groups in our government, that allowed the rearmament of al-Qaeda so they can have another round of tyranny worldwide, more wars, and take our liberties domestically. Now, shifting gears, you have the arch enemy of al-Qaeda, the Shiites, who are against the Sunnis. Again, al-Qaeda is a small sect of the Sunnis, Wahhabist out of Saudi Arabia. So you have Iran, that is Shiite, 20% of Islam, and their arch enemies with Saudi Arabia, and they're a real threat. Hezbollah is a real terror group, and yes, they've always had sleeper cells in this country. We know they've come across by the tens of thousands. On your show, you've covered it. The Washington Times has covered it. We're always attacked when we point out that Hezbollah has been infiltrating the United States. Well, the Iranians have been bragging about this for a decade. And he says, the top commander, we can talk more about it in the next hour. It's so important because we're going to run out of time here. But, George, as you know, because you've had so many guests on, you've covered every angle of this. Ladies and gentlemen, what Steve Quayle said, what Hagman said, what George Norrie said, what I've said, now you've got Iran, basically, because we lost the moral high ground when we backed al-Qaeda. Now the world's turning against the U.S. because we backed al-Qaeda. We've lost our moral high ground.
Hold on for a second, Alex. Already at the top.